Hello, and welcome to The Alchemist with Isis Jade, the keys to living your very best life in alignment with your mind, body, and spirit. My name is Isis Jade, and I am delighted that you are here. I am the formulator behind Alchemist Co. and Warrior Relief, two brands focused on helping people use bioenergized products to help you live your very best life. I am an alignment coach, licensed spiritual counselor, holistic medicine practitioner, author, clairvoyant, and energy alchemist. I have over a dozen certifications in various healing arts, and I also carry PhDs in bioenergetics, holistic medicine, and traditional naturopathy, and I've written over 10 books. This podcast is full of immediate strategies that you can apply today to help you bring yourself back into full alignment and live your very best life, fully embodied in mind, body, and spirit, through a variety of holistic tools, including energy healing, aromatherapy, herbs, naturopathic processes, secret universal laws, visualization tips, how to break any bad habit fast, and how to completely reframe your entire self-concept and more. So if you are ready for your total mind, body, and spirit level up, then brilliant soul, you're in the right place.
Like a goddess, and how do you even start to become a goddess, much less how do you start to feel like you're a goddess? Where do you begin? Going into how to become a goddess, I speak about coming into your goddess power and coming into the center of who and what you are from a very personal ground. So when we come into a position where we've decided that I need to reclaim a part of myself out of that experience or out of my past, and I need to come back to no longer diminishing myself or no longer living in anger and resentment, but I need to piece myself back together again. How do I do that so that I can awaken myself from within? How do I step into my goddess nature? How do I get involved with her? What do I do? How does that work? One of the things we're going to talk about, we did talk about goddess attributes. We talked about the benefits of stepping into your goddess power. We've talked about women's empowerment and goddess power, which is something that's all, I think, lined up one right after the other. And the other thing we're going to talk about is we are going to talk about what it means to be a goddess. And so I have a few little pointers about what it means to be a goddess and then how to become a goddess also. So I'm very excited to share that with you. Here's an interesting quote from Picasso. Picasso once said, he said, there are only two types of women in the world. There are goddesses and there are doormats. You, my dear, are definitely not a doormat. And if that's how you've chosen to live your life up to this point in the space of victimhood, in the space of being walked over all the time, being too compliant or too compromising or too giving and not taking enough back for yourself, this quote will probably strike you as very odd. Goddesses and doormats. Well, for much of my life, I have experienced life as a doormat, giving, just being kind and giving, thinking that if I'm just nice, people will like me more. If I'm just kinder, people will like me more. I never had any idea of what it meant to command respect or what it meant to command an audience, what it meant to compel from within and making sure that I have set myself up for a pattern of being respected and my thoughts and opinions mattering in conversations. I was very, very defensive, and people ran over me all the time and bullied me into choices and decisions all the time. In fact, I lived my life fearing being bullied all the time. I was bullied at home. I was bullied at school. I was bullied at work. I had a great big sign across my back and across my forehead that said, easy target, punch here. Seriously. And I mean verbal punching as well. And shove here. So being bullied most of my life, this is a subject that's kind of a difficult subject for me. I didn't realize that I had power to make a change happen in my life. And it wasn't until I started selling products and selling vehicles and selling equipment and negotiating deals that I learned to have a more compelling conversation with people so that I could engage with them on a respectful level. Sales isn't the most respectful field out there, but because I engaged with an individual based on what I'm seeing within and not just based on, you know, trying to make a sale, I actually landed more successful sales, and I was one of the top salespeople in my companies that I worked on. And it also commanded a great deal of respect for my ability to talk people into decisions that they're struggling with. And most of the time, I tried to look at it from a perspective of what would be most optimal for them and allow them to talk themselves either into or out of the sale. And it no skin off my back no matter what it was they decided. I didn't take it personally if they decided not to purchase. I didn't take it personally if they did. It was a very big lesson for me in the idea of setting myself aside in order to engage in business. One of the hardest things I ever had to learn, to be honest with you, because up until that point, everything I did was very personal. I was very sensitive. I took everything very deeply and very personally. And if somebody said I didn't like X, well, I was like, oh my God, you don't like me? If you didn't like my art, if you didn't like my writing, if you didn't like this, or if you didn't like that, I automatically took it as an insult saying that you didn't like me and that you wanted me to change. And so, living like that was very difficult, especially always just falling over and letting people just do whatever, you know, do whatever to me. I just would collapse and go, okay, whatever. So going through that and learning how to negotiate and talk myself into positions of empower in different companies, being able to establish a core set of respect meant I had to come off kind of almost abrasive and aggressive in a manner, which is completely the opposite of what I normally am. I'm not a particularly aggressive person, but once I make a decision and I commit, man, I'm like a bull in a china shop. You can't keep me back. You can't hold me down. I'm just going to barrel my way through. And come what may, let whatever the chips fall, wherever they land. It made me very aggressive at the negotiation table, and it made me a formidable ally in many, many businesses interactions that I've had over the years. And so in those situations and circumstances, before I was abducted, I was very empowered. I was very powerful. I was very capable of attracting teams and getting teams to work with me and work under me and support the bigger goal and the bigger thing of what we're working towards and get things done on time, on budget. So my teams were very, very well-oiled and very, very committed. I was often the only woman on the job site, especially in the construction industry in Vegas. I was a little blonde chick back then, wearing a little hard hat. I was a tiny little size 2, walking around with a great big megaphone and an enormous brick phone around on the job sites. I had a good time. It was a lot of fun, but it was also very, very draining and very daunting. I didn't make nearly as much as my counterparts out there. I was paid by half and doing twice the amount of work. And also on top of that, at night, I'd have to go entertain new clients and I would have to negotiate new deals because I was both A, very attractive back then, but also B, I had a way of convincing people to work with us. You know, embracing that aspect of my goddess nature really made me a very powerful person. But yet I still had to fight against the established paradigms of women in business and women working on jobs and in male-dominated industries. I dealt with a lot of self-doubt, a lot of constant conflicting feelings about what I was doing, and it really weakened me in many ways also, especially in my relationship at home. Oftentimes, who we are at home isn't necessarily the same face we put on for work. At home, we may be diminutive, we may be weak, we may be more inclined to collapse, we may be more inclined to cave, we may be more inclined to compromise where we may not have, or we may be the opposite. We may take everything out on our family members at home, and we don't intend to, and we don't mean to. Either one or the other. We either are too much of one thing, or we're too much of the other. So being a goddess, I believe, is walking a fine line between developing a sense of self, a sense of self-respect, a sense of the essence of who and what you are, allowing that to come through with confidence, with grace, with fortitude, being in touch with your sensual nature, because women, by our very nature, we're very sensual beings, we're very feeling-oriented beings. We elevate ourselves around that. So coming into tune and in essence and in line with that. A goddess, in my opinion, is also in line with her mind, her body, and spirit. Everything is in harmony with one another. Everything moves in unison together. When I use the word goddess and I talk to my women friends, especially women clients who've never considered themselves to be goddesses before, they immediately run away from that word. Oh, I'm not a goddess. I'm just me. I'm no big divine being. I'm just a little tiny wallflower. I don't know what you're talking about. There's a lot of humility, a lot of humiliation even around calling oneself a goddess. Me? A goddess? Oh, no. I'm no goddess. However, when someone calls you a goddess, maybe for the first time, you can't help but kind of glow a little bit. Really? Really? I'm a goddess? Wow, thank you. And it makes you start to feel a little bit more in line with yourself. So what makes a woman a goddess and what makes her a doormat? Well, a lot of it comes from confidence and self-assurance, knowing that she is capable and self-assured and that she radiates that out with everything that she has. Unconfident women, unconfident people in general, they tend to either A, try too hard to please or try too hard to impress, or B, they fall over all over themselves trying to win the attention or the affection or the approval of other people. A goddess has won her own approval. She has her own approval. She doesn't need the approval of anyone else. And I actually think of a goddess being more interdependent. She's interdependent on all things that are operating around her. She's neither dependent nor independent. That's important. She's optimistic. Optimism is really important. She can joke around. She can feel good. She doesn't make jokes at the expense of other people. She doesn't use sarcasm. She's not a cynic. She's joking because she's happy-go-lucky. She has a sense of humor about life. She smiles and laughs at the silliness and absurdity of all things and all beings, including herself. She's fun-loving, and has the ability to laugh with others and laugh at her own follies and mistakes. I mean, we all make mistakes. It's okay. It's a part of life. Also, a goddess is happy with her life, whereas a doormat generally is not. She also takes very good care of herself, her body. Her body is a temple. I believe that as you come into becoming a goddess, how to become a goddess, you fall in love with yourself. You're just enraptured with yourself. And I don't call this selfish love. I call this self-love. Because until you fall in love head over heels with your beautiful skin, your gorgeous hair, maybe it's soft and wavy, maybe it's very tightly curled, maybe it's like lamb's wool, maybe it's just exquisite and long, maybe it's short and spiky and punky and fun. Fall in love with your eyes. Your eyes are the windows to your soul. This is something a goddess knows. She's very much about her. She's very much about loving herself and allowing herself to shine through. Because when you love something unconditionally, you just don't want anything to tamp it down or hide it or pull it away. You want to boost it out there so it shines with all its light. This is what we do with children when we love them. This is what we do with our friends when we love them. You support them. You boost them up. You give them wind so that they can soar. You do that. You just give them all the love and support you possibly can. You're not a naysayer. You're a positive reinforcer for whatever it is that friend or even yourself or your children want to do. That's a goddess. Not a doormat. Doormats tend to hold back. They tend to become very jealous of their friends' accomplishments or their loved ones' accomplishments. They tend to live vicariously through other people, but they are also very much naysayers. Oh, I can't do that, or you can't do that, or that's impossible. That's a doormat. Nobody really wants to be around a person like that. I definitely say that goddesses won't chase anyone. She creates a lure of attraction around her. And that's what a goddess does. Someone who isn't a goddess, who's struggling with finding the sense of who they are, they tend to chase after everyone. They're desperate, very, very desperate, and very, very needy. A goddess, however, knows that she serves all her needs from within, and that she knows that she is fully cognizant, fully capable of creating her own reality. Whereas a doormat just uses, and a victim just says, it's everybody else's fault, it's not my fault, I'm just a victim of circumstance. And doormats also do this whole martyr thing too. So we talked about all this. I'm going to keep talking about it. I think it's really important we completely emphasize this. Finally, a goddess is never very easily attained. She does not accept disrespect. She's very respectful of others. She creates and commands respect because of her very essence, her very presence, her very command of herself. When she walks in, everyone notices her. She's not generally the most beautiful in the room, but she's definitely the most striking. There's something unusual about her. There's something very awe-inspiring about her. People are drawn to her. People just can't help but flock around her and just kind of be around her. Everybody wants to just be with her. However, she won't accept disrespect either. So if you're engaging in a conversation with her, she commands respect and she gives respect. She's equally as respectful of herself as she is of you. She's respectful of your thoughts and opinions. You're entitled to your own thoughts and opinions. She doesn't think that your opinions threaten her in any least. However, she feels that her opinions are being threatened or her opinions are being disrespected, and she's not entitled to have an opinion in a conversation with you. She's probably going to shut down the conversation and walk away. That's what a goddess does. And she's also not easily attained. You have to strive for a goddess. You have to acquire her. You have to attract her to you. You have to be very attractive to a goddess. She's not going to just fall for anybody. She's not going to spend relationship energy needlessly on just anyone. You have to be a very highly functioning, highly vibrating individual for her to operate in your realm. She's also extremely feminine. She's got grace. She's got presence. She's got fortitude. It's entirely possible for her to be a CEO, an athlete, and still be undeniably feminine and elegant. She also very much prizes her sexuality. In fact, she believes that sexual charged energy is the most powerful energy there is. And she's extremely sensual. She knows that we are feeling, we are sensual, we're sexual beings. And there isn't anything wrong with either of those things. She's very much in touch with herself, both sexually and sensually. And that makes her a powerhouse, a dynamo, whenever she walks into any room. So obviously Picasso's one sentence, this quote, inspires a lot of women going, am I a goddess or am I a doormat? What do I use? And how do you communicate with yourself? First step to becoming a goddess is how do you communicate with yourself? Because this is like one of those most important things. How to become a goddess, how to embrace your goddess nature, how to allow that nature to unfold around you begins within, that everything begins from within. It first begins with thinking amazingly beautiful thoughts about yourself, speaking amazingly beautiful comments about yourself, talking to yourself in a beautiful way. You know, if we had a voice recorder for every negative thought or for every thought we had about ourselves throughout the day, and we played that back to ourselves at the end of the day, I think you'd be quite surprised about how negative you really are about yourself and how negative you may be thinking words or thoughts towards other people. It's very surprising, and it's very surprising what unconsciously comes out of our mouth, what falls out of our mouths. If we carried a little voice recorder as we wandered around through our day, I think we'd be very surprised. Now, the thing is when we start to think beautiful, happy, joyful, succulent, juicy thoughts about ourselves and about other people, we ourselves become more beautiful. We become more radiant. We become more vibrant. We become more life-giving because joyful, happy, beautiful thoughts radiate much higher on the resonance scale of the vibration scale than does negative and unhealthy and toxic thoughts about ourselves or others. And your beautiful face, your exquisite face, no matter what kind of life you've lived, radiates out what sorts of thoughts you tend to think of most. I used to be a very, very depressed and suicidal person, and 10 years ago I looked 10 years older than I do today. Today, I've been mistaken as my daughter's sisters, not their mother, daughter's cousins, not their mother. People are stunned when they find out that I actually am their mom, not their sister, not their friend, not their cousin. It shocks people when they find out, that's my daughter over there. They just stop in their tracks going, you're way too young to have. I mean, you got to be in your 20s, right? It's definitely a case in point that 10 years ago, I looked 10 years older, I'm closer to my 40s than I do today because of the thoughts and the feelings that I tend to evoke now and over the past 5 years that I've really worked hard to cultivate in myself. Beautiful thoughts, love thoughts, caring thoughts, nurturing thoughts, lovely thoughts, happy thoughts, joyful thoughts, radiant thoughts about myself and about other people. I tend to operate more that way and less the other way now. And I really did notice a huge change in my physical appearance, in my energy levels, in my way I solve problems. I didn't tend to get as frustrated as I used to. And now I feel very, very capable and very joyful and very happy about the things I do. The power of positive thinking isn't about just attracting new opportunities to your life or magic and miracles to your life. It's also about creating beauty from within and radiant light from within. And the more we focus on that, the more radiant we become, the more joyful we become, the more happier we become. We just become that because we change our state. As Tony Robbins says, a state of emotion is simply energy and being emoted, being in motion. Energy and motion, that's what emotion is. So if you're going to practice the state of depression, and this he really nailed it home for me when he talks about this, both in Personal Power and in Get the Edge series. He talks about how we can become a master. We've got a master's degree in this, generating the state of depression when you've been diagnosed with depression. He's like, you've got a master's in it, so now you've really practiced the state of being depressed. And he talks about how you could actually change the state of very, very severely depression in about 20 minutes to being totally radiant, excited, and exuberant about your life. And I've done this for many, many people. They walk in feeling really horrifyingly depressed with their whole life. Everything's going wrong, maybe even suicidal. And in about 20 minutes, they'll go, I don't even remember why I was so sad. I'm like, yeah, because we changed your state. You have full control over the state of your emotions, the state of your energy, the state of your field. So it's very, very important that we focus on harboring and generating and nurturing and planting those seeds of positive thinking and positive words and positive feelings and joyful feelings. That's a goddess. That's the first step to how to become a goddess. That right there. If you can master that little thing and catch yourself every time that you're starting to think something negative about yourself, something depleting about yourself, something that's going to send you into a tailspin of negative thought cycles. And we talk about this negative energy addiction, negative emotional addiction. This is called NEA, negative energy emotional addictions. This is such a depleting cycle of addiction for people. And if you can change that cycle, that negative thought cycle process, that's going to send you into a tailspin of anger, resentment, frustration, depression, by focusing on what your core value needs are and then harboring and nurturing them from within and speaking to yourself in a loving, compassionate, empathetic way, you can change the state of your emotion like that. Doesn't matter if it's anxious, doesn't matter if it's scared, doesn't matter if you're panicking, you can change it all like that, just in a moment. So that's one of the very first things, because without a doubt, a woman's most beautiful heart and soul illuminates both just the face, but also the presence of the body and how she carries herself with an indescribable charm, mystery, and radiance. And it is those things, there are those things that we are using to put out there in order to attract the opportunities, the magic, and the miracles, and the cases of strategic synchronicity that we want in order to manifest the life of our dreams, in order to manifest more abundance, in order to manifest more joy, in order to manifest anything. That's how you do it. The next thing, as for a woman's facial expressions, this is really important. Your face, it doesn't matter how stoic you think you are, your face records every thought over years and years and years. And so as your cells retain thought patterns and energy patterns, and yes, every cell is connected to the brain. Every cell is connected in some way or another to the brain. Every cell sends and receives electrical signals and stimulus from the brain. When you're filling your mind up with toxic negative thoughts, it radiates out into every cell. And so when you're looking at your face in the mirror in the morning, you're thinking, oh, I'm so ugly. Oh, these lines, these wrinkles. Oh, these lips. Oh, my face is sagging. You're sending that energy and you're sending that program to your face, to the cells in your face, to continue to process that, to continue to generate that expression. I have some very beautiful friends who are in their 50s and 60s and don't have a single line on their face. And they use no Botox. They use no chemical stimulants whatsoever. They don't use anything but just natural body care, a natural facial care. And they look younger than most people do by 20 years. But it's because they meditate regularly. They think beautiful thoughts. They repeat beautiful things to themselves. They say beautiful things, they read poetry, they surround themselves with beauty in their homes and in their life, and they surround themselves by beautiful, positive people that enliven them and brighten them up. This is something really important. You're recording every thought into your face, and your facial expressions reflect out that energy, that thought process that you're undergoing. So if you're constantly angry or you're constantly frustrated, you're constantly tense and stressed out, your eyes narrow, your face starts to slacken a little because you're frowning all the time, you're a very serious person. But when you're smiling a lot, you'll get those little crow lines, those little wrinkle lines that just show how beautiful you are. You get little dimples. Your face actually starts to tighten up and smiles happier. And you don't have the slack jowls and you don't have the wrinkly face as much. You have a beautiful face. So the repetition of thoughts becomes a mental habit and they produce apparent physical results, because as your brain is recording everything and it's sending those electrical signals down to every fiber of your being, your organs, your liver, your heart, your lungs, your face, your lips, your eyes, your nose, your cheeks, your chin, your neck. Any part of that that you're seeing dissonance or aging, it is because you're aging it yourself with your own thinking. So think joyful, positive, youthful thoughts, happy thoughts, and you automatically start to erase those years of wear and tear away, and your face will look brighter, fresher, and lovelier automatically. I mean, it happens very, very quickly. People are amazed at the change in 90 days of just doing that and eating healthier, honoring themselves, remembering that their body is a temple. And so you want to think about it as that your whole body, your heart, your spirit, your mind, your brain, your hands, every part of you is a temple in which your soul, your goddess spirit resides in. How do you treat it? How do you honor it? How do you respect it? Have negative toxic thoughts. It's like cobwebs and dust and graffiti on the temple walls. Would you tolerate that in a sanctuary of solitude? Would you tolerate that in a holy sanctuary? Absolutely not. No one would. So why are you tolerating it in your own life? That creates so much feminine beauty, so much feminine power, that in just a few months of focusing on that, as little as sometimes just 3 months, like I said, 90 days, a real transformation will have occurred in your life. I have 100 little quote cards of various positive thinking, positive sayings, things that really enlighten me and inspire me, and I hung them up all over my house at the most odd little places. They're all over the place, and you can seek them out and you read them. And as you read them, you start to feel yourself shift a little bit and shift and change a little bit more. And I go through the house at least once a week to make sure I've covered every single one of them. I've got some hanging on mirrors. I've got some hanging over light fixtures. Any place that we just generally open up and kind of experience on a day-to-day basis, it's kind of a jolt. And then every once in a while, I'll take them down and rearrange them and replace them in new places, so that I'm always constantly charging my brain with new positive affirmational thoughts. It's almost like a subconscious neural trigger for me now to read them. So that's one thing you can do to create change in your life in thinking happy, joyful thoughts, is by surrounding yourself with those happy, joyful words so that you can read them, so that you can internalize them and you can process them a little bit. Now, a lot of people will say, yeah, right, that doesn't work. But I'm telling you, practice it. In 6 months, your life will be completely different. I guarantee it. It'll change your life. Yeah, you can definitely change your physical appearance just by changing your thinking. And that in itself is a magic. That in itself is a miracle. Most people don't even realize how much pain they cause themselves, physical pain and physical chronic fatigue by the thoughts they think. So very positive changes that you can make. And that's the first step to learning how to become a goddess. So if you're practicing these things, if you're internalizing them, if you're learning about them, if you're practicing them on a daily basis, you become better at it, you become more enlivened by it, you become more ecstatic about it.
Thank you for listening to today's show, The Alchemist with Isis Jade. If you are intrigued by the strategies and products discussed, you can visit me on my website at alchemistco.com to purchase the world's only certified organic bioenergized tools, including aromatherapy, natural perfumes, skincare, protection sprays, emotional healing, and so much more. That's alchemistco.com. Now, to get access to our bioenergized pain relief line, you can find those on warrior-relief.com. You can also find me on Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, and Facebook. Just type in Alchemist Co. and follow me there. Don't forget to hit the subscribe button to get access to our weekly podcasts
Receive updates and information about our latest products, guided meditation, books, and courses, and get in on our VIP offers not available to the general public. Thank you so much for listening. Have a most delightful and wonderful day out there living your very best life.